Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Out of sight and out of mind. That's the typical dynamic when it comes to the pipes that bring us drinking water or the system that takes storm and wastewater out of our homes and neighborhoods. But things change when there's a crisis.
The Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum has released a report that makes the point that we're all going to need to consider the condition of our water and sewer systems. It's the latest in a series of reports on the state of Milwaukee's infrastructure.
Forum President Rob Henkin and researcher Ben Juarez join us in the studio to share what they concluded. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Mitch.
So this is going to sound like a ridiculous statement, but obviously our water and sewer infrastructure has been aging for a long time. Why are we seemingly at a precipice at this point in time?
Well, I think it really depends on which parts of the infrastructure we're looking at here. In the case of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, we're not necessarily at a precipice. The deep tunnel was constructed not too long ago. We find that most of the major assets are in pretty good condition. There is certainly some work that needs to be done at the reclamation facilities. But again, that's not the precipice. I think the real precipice here, and we can get into talking about the city sewers, but really is city water and the Milwaukee Water Works. And it's a combination of two factors. Number one, the water mains are indeed aging, and they do need to significantly enhance their replacement schedule for the water mains. And then, of course, the big elephant in the room is the emergence of the lead service line issue, where up until a few years ago, while certainly there was a recognition that eventually, over many, many, many years, those lines would need to be replaced, I think now there's an imperative to go much faster.
So the issue of lead in our drinking water is on the radar of a lot of people. Would you say, does this represent the largest portion of the pie at this point?
It represents the largest portion in terms of the length of time it will take to get this done. So it all depends. In the report, we are going off of what we are being told by the Milwaukee Water Works, and they are engaged in a very intensive planning process right now, so we'll know more this fall. But if they can achieve their goal of getting up to 1,250 lead service line replacements every year, that's going to cost a lot of money. It's somewhat manageable, but it'll take 50 years. So the question is, what if because of EPA regulations or just because of recognition of the public health implications, a decision is made, no, we have to replace these 76,000 lead service lines in 5 or 10 years? That's when the numbers start to get very big and where the impact on ratepayers would get extremely big.
Well, so explain, why is MMSD equipment in comparatively good condition versus what we're finding with the Milwaukee Water Works?
I think that's a matter of how they plan.
One of the things that we note in the report, Mitch, is that MMSD has the benefit of sort of being a single mission jurisdiction. So if they're not taking care of their infrastructure, there's something really wrong there. Now, again, that doesn't mean that MWW and City DPW, Department of Public Works, get off the hook on that regard. But
they're just one part of a bigger whole.
Exactly. And there are so many different planning needs and capital needs that go above sewers and water mains and lead service lines, et cetera.
So the upshot for this is a pretty steep price tag.
In terms of the water reclamation facilities assets, yes, we're looking at an increase in the next 5 years for that. And in this last budget, MMSD did spend a lot more on water reclamation facilities than they did on other assets.
But in terms of MWW, what are the funding mechanisms that are in place that would allow for the Water Works and the city and the DPW to be able to deal with the challenges that seem to be looming?
Well, and so the big distinction here is when we're talking about both city sewers and the Milwaukee Water Works, we're talking about ratepayers. So for the sewers, it's stormwater fees and sewer maintenance fees that are charged by the city to residents and to other property owners that will pay for those costs. And right now, in terms of the sewers, the plan is to try to do 27 miles of sewer lining and replacement per year. And they've actually been at above that level over the past 5 years because the major historic rainstorms of the 2009-2010 range caused them to do lots of additional work because some deficiencies were exposed. So that gets ramped down a little bit. In terms of the Milwaukee Water Works, what we are projecting here, or what they are projecting, is a huge surge in capital spending. Their capital budget has been in the range of $10 to $15 million per year. It's going to have to shoot up to more than $45 million per year. And so that's going to require the waterworks to do considerable borrowing, and the debt on that borrowing has to get repaid over 15-year periods. That's where they're going to have to go and petition the Public Service Commission for rate increases. And so that's the other wild card here. Whereas for the other entities, we are able to provide some information as to what this might mean in terms of the amount of the fee increases, we can't even project that because so much is going to be determined on what the PSC allows, how they allow them to depreciate certain assets, and other technical questions like that.
So these are issues, things like water and sewer service, that do not get a lot of attention unless there's a sudden crisis, generally speaking. In your experience, does something bad have to happen before people are willing to get behind a comprehensive plan to do something? Or is the fear of something bad happening enough, or maybe choice C, is the lead situation that something bad already?
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of all those things. I think this, as you know, is the second in a series of reports that we're doing on local government infrastructure. We also took a look at city streets and bridges and county trunk highways and buses. And I don't want to speak for Ben, but I think we're impressed with the way our local governments are assessing the condition of their infrastructure and putting forward plans to budget officials and ultimately elected officials that says, hey, this is what our goal should be. Unfortunately, where the rubber hits the road is that goal is having to be considered by budget and elected officials alongside goals for what should we be doing for our parks and cultural institutions, and what should we be doing for our city hall, which is undergoing a major project. So, the hope is that you're undergoing that regular investment so that you're going to not have a crisis. It seldom works out that way, and typically you're correct. It does take some type of a crisis situation, a recognition that we haven't been investing enough, that finally elevates some of these types of projects to the top, particularly given that they are underground.
These are literally underground.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've already talked about this, but the major rainfalls exposing deficiencies, things like that. I mean, MMSD, they're looking to protect against that as well all the time. They provide capital for inflow and infiltration monies to municipalities to prevent inflow and infiltration. So they're constantly trying to kind of avoid those problems.
Can you compare and contrast? You mentioned this is the second in a series of reports. Can you compare and contrast what you found in this report versus what you found in your look at the state of roads, bridges, buses, and other kind of transportation infrastructure?
Sure. I think starting with MMSD, I don't think there's any question that MMSD is in the best shape in terms of having a handle on very precisely what its multi-year needs are and a plan to finance those needs. Now, it still doesn't mean in the end that the elected officials are going to, in this case, not elected officials, but the appointed commissioners to the MMSD commission. We point out in the report that taking care of those needs is going to require annual property tax increases of 4%. And on the one hand, you look at 4%, is that outrageous? I don't know that we'd say it's outrageous, but it's certainly at this point, it's above CPI. And going up 4% per year on the MMSD levy may be a political challenge in terms of getting the commission's approval. Turning now back to the city, I don't think there's any question that of the infrastructure we have looked at so far, MWW's situation is the most alarming. And again, this is not a reflection of the fact that they have been negligent, though it is worth noting that they have not had an overly ambitious capital improvement program over the past few years. But again, this lead service line issue emerged at the very same time that the water main situation in terms of the number of breakages that they were observing has caused the need to vastly expand their pace of replacement.
Thanks to both of you, and we'll keep looking at this issue.
Okay, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Rob Henkin is president, and Ben Juarez is a researcher with the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. You'll find a link to their report on the area's water and sewer infrastructure at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.